Ask the Podcast Coach Show for March 29th, 2014.
Let's get ready to podcast.
You can get up and dance if you want to. It's Saturday. It's time to talk a little podcasting. And this is Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. And I am Dave Jackson, and today my regular partner in crime is the lovely and talented Jim Cullison. But today we are joined by the even more lovelier and talented Daniel J. Lewis from the audacitytopodcast.com. Daniel, thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Hey, you're very welcome, Dave. I'm excited to talk with you and talk about podcasting, which I know we could always talk about podcasting for hours and hours.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we got to fill up an hour. I'm like, that's a drop in the bucket. So you can find us every show at schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And Daniel, if you go out there to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, that'll take you to our chat room. I should have mentioned that earlier, that we are at, if you want to go to mixler.com/podcastcoach/chat, that will get you there. But if you just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/live, that will get you there as well. And today we're having fun. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know the beginning is always somewhat of a train wreck because Dave is always trying new technology and things like that. And today was fun because I went to use my laptop, which I get from my day job, and forgot that they took it to load new software. So I got to use my Mac, which was fun. And so Daniel is now on my Mac. I'm using my Mac Mini. And got to tie that whole thing in. And I'm using a new USB device, hoping that we've had some crackling noises on my Mixler account, which is not a big deal. You're hearing static now. Okay, great. I think it is a little noisier than usual.
Well, Dave, how about we have a little session between you and I about Ask the Podcast Coach here? That seems to be a problem with Mixler.
Really? Okay.
I run into that same problem. Yeah. So what I've started doing when I live stream to Mixler is instead of using the Mixler app on my OS X computer, and I've had the problem with either USB inputs or analog inputs. Mm-hmm. So instead of using the app on my computer, I'm using my iPad or iPhone to handle the live streaming, and that comes through clean. And then that way, whatever this weird problem is, then it's not a problem by using the mobile app instead. And it's available for Android too, I believe.
So you're actually doing it, what, through your iPad then?
Yeah, what I have to do though, because you can't just run a straight analog line into an iOS device or an Android device as an input into that device, you have to use some kind of splitter, because instead of the TRS where it's got two black stripes, mm-hmm. it has three black stripes. So you have to use either an analog iPod AV cable and you run the input to the iOS or Android device through the yellow wire, or you have to get some kind of splitter like Griffin, I believe, makes one. Different things where it splits out. If you have that single input output audio jack, mm-hmm. it splits it out so that you have an input and then a stereo output. That kind of thing is what you'd have to use on an iPhone, not just a straight standard 3.5 millimeter cable.
There you go. And that's why he's an award-winning podcaster right there, buddy. Awesome. Very, I see. Because I've been fighting it. I thought it was I was using the Griffin iMic, and I tried it with my analog input, and my analog input just sounds like crap. For whatever reason, I like Dell computers. I've never had a problem with them, but when I got this one, the sound card in it is just horrible. And so I thought it was a USB thing. So that's why I sent away for this Behringer one, and I kind of like it. It seems to have a little louder output than the Griffin does. I know I was having problems this morning with overmodulating and some other things, but it's good to know that, hey, it's actually an app thing. And the good thing is those guys seem to update. One of the things I do Saturday morning is the first thing I do is start Mixler because there's almost always an update. They love to update their software. So Mike Phillips in the chat room says, did I install the ASIO drivers from the Behringer website? No, I actually just plugged this thing in. Because, hey, if you're doing a live show, you might as well use software that you've never, or a USB device that you've never, ever used before. And so I plugged it in, had a Skype call this morning, and it was weird because on Skype, I just used my Audio-Technica 2100 microphone, And it, like, all of a sudden Skype wouldn't recognize it. And the other thing was really weird, and that's when I went, ooh, I'm not a fan of this thing so far. So, Mike, I will definitely be installing drivers. Is when I went into my control panel and went to sound, I've never seen this happen. It locked up the sound app in control panel because I could see where I have multiple inputs. And I went to scroll down and it would just lock it up every time. And I went, ooh, it's time to update the drivers because who knows how long this thing's been sitting in the box. So, yeah, so it's new. It's fun. If you want to call in, our phone number is 440-253-9922. Let me throw that in the chat room. And
by the way, in the chat room kindly corrected me. There is no Android app for Mixlr.
Really? Well, get on that, boys and girls, you would think. Yeah, that phone number again. Oh, I forgot. See, it's not fun unless you play the jingle. See, this makes it even more fun. Here we go. That number again, and I have to get my pukey radio voice going. It's 440-253-9922. And, you know, if you're a person that's like, hey, I wish I had some place to go get free podcast consulting, it's right here. And today you get a 2-for-1 and would love to answer any question you have. Some people are like, well, do you have a topic? We don't really do like the Rush Limbaugh thing where he throws out a topic. Sometimes I do because the phone gets a little quiet. But, you know, we can talk about anything you'd like. So if you're starting a podcast, if you're new to podcasting, if you're old to podcasting, by all means, call on in. Again, the phone number is 440-253-9922. Daniel, I want to ask you about your podcast masterclass. And when is your next session starting? I know it's pretty much right around the corner.
Yeah, I start the next session in May 2014 over at podcastmasterclass.com.
And you kind of always say it's about, because we're not going to say taking it to the next level. It's about increasing your effectiveness, maybe, of your pod. No, what's the catchphrase?
It's the trademark phrase is podcast from average to amazing.
Ah.
And it's taking current podcasters who want to bump it up, who want to take this much more seriously and really improve their podcast, make money with it. They're already making some money. They want to make more. They want to learn how to leverage their audience. They want to learn how to do better interviews. One of the things that in the first masterclass that I had that the students said was extremely helpful, and one of them even said the whole cost of the class was worth just this thing, was the evaluation of their podcast, where I go through a 120-point checklist. It's more than 120 points at the moment, actually. And I check their website. I check their podcast, their RSS feed, their ID3 tags. I check everything about their podcast. And then we come back together and spend, now it's 3 or 4 hours, talking about each of these things and how they can fix certain of these things. But then there's also group coaching and training on certain topical items that it was a lot of fun. Every time I come away from a class, I'm just pumped. I feel like I could go take over a small country.
You're like Russia now. You're going to start invading people. Wait, that doesn't sound right. Well, that sounds good. Well, you answered my question, because I remember when you first launched the class, you were kind of like, hey, we're going to, you know, from average to awesome. And I was like, okay, what does that mean though? So you just answered it. 120 points. Give us a couple examples of something you would look at.
Well, a common thing is your RSS feed linked from your website? And many podcasters won't do that. They won't think of that because they might think, well, people just subscribe in iTunes. Well, is iTunes linked from your website? And one of the things I do is I provide to my students for free social subscribe and follow icons, my WordPress plugin. And I help them set that up. Some of the other things I check for is, are there media files on good hosting? What's the hosting speed? Are they using the right size cover art? How big is their cover art? How long are their files? What's their audio quality? How does their iTunes listing look? Can they leverage some iTunes SEO and website SEO a bit better? One of the students actually had 3 or 4, I think, SEO plugins on his WordPress website.
Wow.
Each overriding each other. So his SEO was completely messed up, and he didn't know that. He didn't recognize that. So that was something that I discovered going into the code. So it's just, sometimes it's the surface level stuff, like how many times did you say in your podcast?
Right.
Or what are your verbal crutches? Other times it's actually getting in, looking at the code, checking your website and saying, look, your website is 3 megabytes and it takes 12 seconds to load. That's insane. Here are some ways that you can shrink your website down and make it load a lot faster.
I just heard a stat yesterday. They said for every second that it takes your site to load, you lose 7% of your audience.
Yeah.
I was like, holy cow. So that's amazing.
Yeah, well, it makes me think about making my website just plain text up there.
Well, we do have a question from the chat room here. Ronald Manziak says, Dave, a question for you. How was it for you when you added Ask the Podcast Coach to your feed? How hard was it for it to split the feed? And it actually was very easy. I used the Blueberry PowerPress plugin, and I have to remember which one I used. I think I'm using Category Casting. It's one of those. It's, he said, logging into his website. It basically, what it does, when I go into a post, I now have two boxes. And if I put the media URL in the top box, it goes down the School of Podcasting feed. If I put it in the second box, which I've even color-coded dark blue so I can tell, so I don't accidentally put the wrong, it must be doing channels.
That's channels.
Yeah, yes,
that's
podcast channels. And it just makes it super easy to, in this case, put it in the right box, and whatever box it's in is then what channel it goes down. And then that channel also has its own RSS feed, which I then submitted to iTunes. And one of the things I might be doing in the future is, and you guys can give me some feedback on this in the chat room, I have the School of Podcasting. That's my main website. And I started Ask the Podcast Coach just to kind of play in the live area here. And I actually have the website, askthepodcastcoach.com. And so that if I say things like, you know, askthepodcastcoach.com/19, you can find the episode, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think I'm just going to start treating this like its own brand, not to ignore the School of Podcasting, obviously, because that is still my main thing. Actually, today would be askthepodcastcoach.com/20. But I think that's going to help eliminate some of the crosstalk, and it'll be like askthepodcastcoach.com/live. And then if I want to mention the School of Podcasting, I can. But I think having two brands going at the same time gets a little confusing at the time. But that's how I did it. I did podcast channels. So,
you know, I did something similar where I've been telling people I have a video version of the Audacity to Podcast in iTunes. Mm-hmm. And it's at theaudacitytopodcast.com/iTunes video. But I realized there was this confusion here, and it was very obvious why the confusion. They both podcasts in iTunes are called the Audacity to Podcast, and they both have the same podcast cover art, but they're not the same content. And that's what some people weren't understanding, is that the video version contains, sometimes it's, yes, just the video edition of a particular audio episode I recorded where they get to actually see the screen, see what I'm talking about. But other times, and more often, it's short form videos where I show something that I can't describe in audio, or I go into more visual detail that I don't do in the audio version of the podcast. So what I did is, instead of leaving both of these named the Audacity to Podcast, is I changed the second one to Podcasting Video Tips from the Audacity to Podcast. I changed the cover art too, so it looks similar, like with the same color, one of the same logos is in there. But then I changed it so if you look at these two side by side, you quickly see these look different, but yet related.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, I'll let you answer this next question first, Daniel. Dustin says, if you could go back when you first started podcasting, back in the day, what would be a few things you would do different?
Oh, I would not have tried to be so perfect with my first podcast, which was the Ramen Noodle, my comedy podcast. I was scripting it. And that alone took hours and hours and hours to produce a 15-minute episode. But because I was trying to be perfect, I didn't release any more than 9 episodes in 2 years. So I tried to be perfect, and I couldn't be consistent. That's why I would change.
Yeah, my big one was I would change the name of the show. I mean, technically, my show is called The Morning Announcements, which if I went up to somebody and said, hey, my podcast is called The Morning Announcements, what do you think it's about? I highly doubt that nobody would say, I bet it's about podcasting. They would probably say, oh, it's something about school, or maybe a podcast for principals or something like. So that's why I had to change the name to the School of Podcasting's Morning Announcements, which you have to take a breath before you start to say that, because you run out of breath about halfway through that. So I would have named it something like Podcasting Tips or learn how to podcast or something of that nature that was a little more obvious, I think would be the big one. And actually, when I first started, I actually had not discovered WordPress yet. And I was making my podcast feed in a thing called Feed for All. I was doing my website in, what's the thing from Adobe?
Dreamweaver?
Dreamweaver, yeah. So I was doing my website in Dreamweaver, and I was doing my RSS feed in Feed for All. And so I was doing complete double work. I would make a page, or I would update the front page or whatever on a Dreamweaver, and then I would take that exact same information and put it into Feed for All and update it. And then a friend of mine said, "Have you heard of WordPress?" And I'm like, "No, what is it?" And he's like, "Oh, it's this thing, and it's a blog and blah, blah, blah. And it actually updates your RSS feed automatically." And I'm like, "Oh, hey, sold instantly." And I think the last version of Dreamweaver I have is 4. And I just, everything I do now is in WordPress. So that would be.
I posted a tweet, and then someone, very rightly so, picked up on the meme that I was quoting, and they made a poster of, I guess it's a tequila or something, that like Russian guy or French guy or whatever. He says, "I don't usually drink whatever it is, but when I do, it's this."
Oh, yeah.
I tweeted saying, "I don't usually use Dreamweaver, but when I do, it's for HTML tables." For any web designing listeners out there, you'll there you get go. That joke.
Yeah. The other thing I did, in fact, I just found it in my sister's basement. I went out and bought a microphone like they use in radio stations. I bought I think the very first microphone I had was an MXL, I don't know, 966-67 bingo hike, whatever it was, some big condenser microphone. And, you know, it was great. And then I later, Scott Fletcher was the man who invented the phrase pod fade. People will tell me I have a radio voice. This guy has the radio voice. He's just got that whole thing down. And I asked him, I said, "What microphone do you use? Because I want to sound just like you." And he said, "I have a Audio Technica 3035. So I went out and bought that. And then it wasn't until later that, you know, and literally at that point, I was podcasting next to the water heater. And so, you know, people would come down and do laundry. And I'm like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." And it was just picking up everything, because that's the fun part of a condenser microphone, is it does pick up a lot of background noise. So I then switched to a Shure SM58, and then it wasn't until later I switched to the Electrovoice RE320. So, but I would not have used a condenser microphone. It's not horrible, but I want to be like radio. So I went out and bought a bunch of radio stuff, and that was not the best. And speaking of microphones, thank you, Mike Phillips, in the chat room. He is letting us know that if you are near a Target, they are clearing out the Samson Q2U. Now, if you're like, not really heard much about that microphone, it is for more or less the same microphone. The guts, very, very similar to the Audio-Technica 2100. And the great thing about that microphone is, number one, it's dynamic. And number two, it works with a USB or a mixer. And they're clearing them out for $29. So
yeah, I'm hoping to get a couple today.
Yeah, I'm like, run, do not walk to your nearest Target. And I didn't even know they carried it, and neither did Mike, but that's very, very cool. So, Ronald mentions, did I get the RE320 for free? I did not pay any money for it. I did barter for it. I asked Electrovoice in this case. I'd read about it and was like, "Hey, here's this less expensive version of the RE20. And I said, "I would love to try it. Here's my audience. And can I have one to play with? And then I'll send it back." And they were like, "Great." So I got to try it. I love the sound of it. And I said, "Where do I send it back to?" And they said, "Well, would you like to buy it?" And I'm like, "Oh, I would love to buy it." And they said, "It's $300. And I'm like, "Yeah, again, where can I send it back to?" And I said, "Now, if you want, can we barter? Can I, you know, can we, how about if I talk about it for a month on the School of Podcasting? Cause this is your target audience. These are people that need microphones." And they said, "That sounds like a good trade." Now, the thing I did wrong, as we're talking about things that I would do differently, is I let them write the ad, and I forget there's some geeky electromagnetic, something super duper technical that only like a sound engineer would go, "Oh my gosh, that's awesome." And it was literally, I think the second time I read it, that somebody wrote in and said, you know, why aren't you just telling us about the microphone? Because I get all these tips, but I have no idea if that's good or bad. So I forwarded that to them and I said, can I just talk about the microphone? And they said, sure. And I said, it's, you know, I love the fact that it's clear. It's got a good bass response and the fact that I can move my mouth wherever I am. And it doesn't really have that. What's that effect called when you get close to it?
They're calling it the variable D.
Yeah, the variable D effect is reduced. So, yeah, so I actually got this particular microphone as a barter, I guess you could say, not exactly for free. So have you got any free stuff, Daniel?
The only free thing I've gotten to actually keep was the Audio Technica ATR 2100 USB. The Electro Voice RE20 and RE320 that I reviewed on my YouTube channel, those both had to go back. And yeah, again, they offered to me, well, you could buy these and keep them for such and such price. And it was a great price. And I might still go back to them because they said anytime you want to, you can qualify for this press price. I might still go back and replace my Heil PR40s with those. But I did have to send them back.
What? You so crazy? You would replace a Heil PR40?
Well, here's the thing. I'm in this stage with podcasting. I'm about to do this series that I'm really looking forward to of confronting podcasting presuppositions. And it would be things that we take for granted in podcasting and just assume, yes, this is the way to do it because everyone does it this way. And in the last few months, the Heil PR40 is one of those things that everyone is getting them primarily because it's been recommended by basically two big figures in the podcasting space. And then everyone who gets it recommends the exact same thing that they have just because that's what they got. So it's saturated the podcasting space, which means now I hear a lot more of the Heil PR40 and how it is not that great in certain cases and how it over enhances voice and emphasizes a particular range of audio for everyone. And I'm talking through a Heil PR40 right now too. And if I listen back to this recording, I will not like the way my voice sounds because it will sound over enhanced to me. So that's where.
But Leo Laporte uses one.
I know that's one of the two people I was thinking of.
Yeah. Well, I like Nick in the chat room says be different. And that's actually one of the things in Monday's School of Podcasting. I'll be talking about being different because the person I was helping this morning, speaking of big names in the sphere, and I kind of jokingly said, because he's doing a daily podcast about entrepreneurship. And I said, gosh, do you listen to John Lee Dumas? And he does. And I and the good thing is he actually is going to do something different. He's inspired by John Lee Dumas, but he's not going to do John's show. And I'm like, there you go. That's exactly it. So very, very cool. Mike Phillips is on fire about, this is awesome. If you go to Target, again, talking about the, what was the model number again? Samson
Q2U.
Yeah. If you go to Target, this is really, really cool. If you find one in stock, when you go to the store, they can scan the barcode and tell you where others may be in stock nearby. Because you think about it, go buy these and throw them on eBay, right? Most of the employees in the store have no idea what you're asking about. It's best to go over if they're nearby. And that's very, very cool. Nick also says, since we're talking about if I could do it all again, I wish I could have utilized Blueberry on keeping stats on my show. Yeah, I used PodTrack. And the only reason I still have PodTrack on some of my shows is for the historical purposes. And it's funny because if you can use, well, technically you could use Libsyn and Blueberry and PodTrack all at the same time. I don't know that that would make any, you know, it just makes the URL to your MP3 file. You're adding more things that can break.
The one thing about that though, and Nick is the one that found this out for me because I wanted to try PodTrack stats, but it just wasn't a high enough priority for me to figure this out. The PodTrack redirect has to be the first part of the URL.
Oh.
Otherwise, it won't work. And that was my case where I have Blueberry first and then PodTrack and then Libsyn. And I could never get anything showing up in PodTrack. So Nick is the one that found out that it's the PodTrack has to be first.
Interesting. Yeah, because for them, for you, because the reason, because they were one of the first stat people going back to 2005, they were at the original podcast expo. And the thing you know, so everybody jumped on board, but they'll say, if you go to their website, if you're looking for them to get you a sponsor, they're looking for 20,000 downloads.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm not quite there yet. So, and that's where, and on the other hand, every time we turn around, Todd from Blueberry is saying, hey, we've got more sponsors coming. I know they have one for a health related podcast that I was like, hey, I might actually be able to use that on my logical weight loss podcast. So, if you're looking for, in terms of active, hey, you're looking for sponsorship, right now, I don't know that there's anybody more active in the space than Blueberry. If you're of a smaller nature, obviously there's the Podcast One people and PodTrack and things like that. But if you're kind of just starting out, Todd is all about trying to group the small audiences together to provide a big audience to the people that are buying sponsorship. And it's not an easy road to go that route. He's doing a lot of explaining over there, but I appreciate the fact that he's standing up. Do you know of any other people that are, to me, it seems like Blueberry is the people that seem to be most active for the average podcaster.
Yeah, it's with everyone else, you really have to have a big audience. Even the people that manage the advertising for Dan Benjamin's network, 5x5 mm-hmm. TV, they offer that they can negotiate ads for you, but they're looking for other networks and people with a large audience as well. There are other companies, yeah, Podcast One, The Midroll.
Yeah.
Some of those others, they want large audiences of at least 5,000 downloads per episode.
There you go. Steve has a question for us in the chat room. And again, you can find us every Saturday, schoolofpodcasting.com/live. And Steve says, I don't auto feed to Spreaker, but missing stats. What's the best way to include Spreaker iHeart stats without sending them your feed? Well, I know one thing. I was really surprised. I finally, after like a month of waiting, I got turned down by iHeartRadio because I have more than 30 seconds of music in my podcast. Because my intro on my Logical Weight Loss podcast show is probably a good 45 seconds because I have this whole mantra where I'm like, we will do this. We will stand up for ourselves and blah, blah, blah. And then finally the music kicks in. It's actually, I was going to kill that intro because I think it's too long. And my audience is like, no, I love the intro. And I'm like, really?
Well, in your case, is the 30 seconds, more than 30 seconds of music in the background or is it in the foreground?
It's the very beginning of the show. I come on and say, today we're talking about blah, blah, blah. And then the drums kick in and I do this. It's in the background, but it's pretty prevalent. It's
and you've licensed that music, right?
Yep. It's from skinnysongs.com.
Yeah. I'm in the same case. They will not accept the Audacity podcast. And they keep giving me these really stupid reasons. And one of them being more than 30 seconds of music. And so they've asked me, well, can you prove that you have the license to use this music? So yes, I sent them the message from the music copyright holder and I proved that I could use it. They still denied it. And these weird things. And they say, well, it's because there shouldn't be this music with the talk station. And yet they've approved my other shows that have maybe even more music playing before and between when I talk, not 30 seconds worth. I'd never do that much, but the background music. So it's crazy. And in some ways I start thinking that maybe it's just not worth it to be on iHeartRadio because of how much trouble it is to get in through Spreaker and losing the stats and everything that you've talked about before on School of Podcasting that Spreaker does bad.
Yeah, they do some things. And Steve is saying he manually uploads to Spreaker. And I don't believe that works for iHeartRadio. I think they have to, let me think about that. If you submit your show, no, when you just go into Spreaker and you say, I would like to be considered, that would be there. But it's what happens, which is not a bad thing. Because when you're on Spreaker, they give you an RSS feed for people to subscribe to your show on their website, which I'm not a big fan of because I want people to subscribe to the feed that I control. And if you get accepted to iHeartRadio, they actually rope off that feed and they give it exclusively to iHeartRadio. So I guess if you're going to be on Spreaker, I guess that would be a way to do it manually. But any way you do it, there are a couple of things that I don't like. Number one, they rename your file. They mess with your ID3 tags. I haven't double checked this in a while, so if they've changed since then, I apologize. But I know they were using your album art was kind of, I think the the graphic you were using for your profile, which isn't my case. So I know that was the other thing they did. And just the fact that, to me, I just don't want anybody to mess with my file, period. Why not just pull it from, you know, my host, which is Libsyn? Well, that doesn't make any sense because Spreaker is a media host. So it's kind of a weird little place. And I think I'm with Daniel. I go over and I check my stats, and it's like 2%, I think, of my audience, if that, is coming from iHeartRadio. I'm not getting a lot of listens over there. It's nice to say I'm on iHeartRadio, but nothing crazy.
Well, you know what? Here, let's. I've got a whole network of podcasts, so I'll just give you some numbers here of episodes and plays on Spreaker that they're giving me. Let's see. Beyond the To-Do List, 73 episodes in the feed, 1,143 plays. This is all these stats are Spreaker only. Mm-hmm. Christian Meets World, 49 episodes, 2,000 plays. Once Upon a Time podcast, 154 episodes, 1,150 plays. And these are all approved on iHeartRadio that I'm listing for you. The Ramen Noodle, Clean Comedy, 192 episodes, 4,000 plays.
Hmm.
Under the Dome Radio, 39 episodes, 1,280 plays. Welcome to Level 7, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, 43 episodes, 670 plays. So some of these are doing all right. Now, these are total plays. So these actual numbers might break down to not mean much. Like I'm looking at my actual per episode numbers, and I see numbers like 32 and 13 and 39 and 10.
Yeah, I'm looking at my stats here for Ask the Podcast Coach. And this is just on Spreaker. For all the episodes I have over here, I've had 3,000 listens on Spreaker and then 411 on iHeartRadio. So I'm here we go with the now I've got to do math in my head. Let's see. If I take 3,074.
Just load the Calc app.
That's what I did. And because I pulled up my Excel, and of course it went to my second screen that I can't see. And if I divide, so it's 3,485 downloads. So if I take 3,485, so if I take 411,
divide. Yeah, I'm looking while you're doing some math there, just to share with everyone. All total, I see in my Spreaker page, 828 tracks from my entire network, just under 12,000 plays total for all of my content. Compare that to per month. Across my network, I'm getting 125,000 downloads per month of my entire archive. So Spreaker is representing, well, that's not bad. That's almost 10%, maybe.
Yeah, that's why I was sitting here pulling up. I'm like, okay. I mean, of my Spreaker listens, 10% are on iHeartRadio. But now I'm trying to figure out what my total plays are here. So if I go to my stats for Ask the Podcast Coach. So, yeah, my total plays are just, that's interesting. My total plays all time on basically using my Libsyn stats are 3,200. My total plays on Spreaker, 3,400. So I'm actually getting more plays on Spreaker than I am on my main website. That's a little different. So that would mean iHeartRadio represents about 5% of my audience right now. Now, on one hand, is it worth it? Well, it doesn't take anything to get listed. You basically say pretty please, and they say yes or no. And once they say yes, you just do your show. And then it's just a matter of anybody can find you. I was looking to see if I have any other shows on... I think I just have this one. I think everything else has been denied. Yeah, it looks that way. Their interface is a little wacky. Yeah, and some of the shows that I don't promote at all, like Building a Better Dave, I have like, you know, one play for my one episode. So I'm not getting a huge amount of stuff. But on the other hand, you know, I am getting I seem to get a lot of followers on Spreaker, and I always wonder where these people are coming from. It's nice. I appreciate it. But the number of downloads I'm getting, or listens, I should say, on Spreaker versus the number of followers I get is another completely disproportionate item, because it says I have, where does it show your number of followers? It's in the thousands, but yet I don't get thousands of downloads or listens per episode. So here we go. I have 3,686 followers, but I'm getting, you know, next to, you know, not, well, I shouldn't say next to nothing, but compared to that number, a small percentage of, yeah, here we go. Last week's Ask the Podcast Coach had 31 plays on Spreaker. So I had 3,000 something listeners and 31 people checked it out. Because yeah, most of that, again, comes from the school of podcasting. So, and the one before that was 25. So I'm not getting a huge number of listens on Spreaker. They add up because it sounds like, wow, I had 3,000 downloads. Well, yeah, that's over however many, 10, 20, 30, 50 episodes at this point that I've done going back and forth. So
it does look like my clean comedy show is doing pretty well on iHeartRadio compared to my other content.
Okay. I'm glad Nick let me know. He says he's calling in, but he's got on hold music. Let me, I will connect here. I thought I was connected.
I commonly go through this thought of, okay, there's this other podcast directory or this other site and all of this. Is it really worth the time it takes to get on there? Thankfully, Spreaker now allows you to just link your RSS feed. So that makes a whole lot easier. I was about to get a virtual assistant to every week download all of the episodes from my network and upload them to Spreaker. But around that same time is when they implemented this RSS feature, which is great. Audioboo is another place kind of like that. I have a few of our shows on audioboo.fm. They had someone that was really excited about podcasting, and now they still have some people in the podcast connection relationship area trying to get people involved, podcasters on the channel. So I'm a featured channel on Audioboo, or at least I was for a little while. And I don't know where those stats are actually going.
Hey, Dan, just so you know, I just kicked out Uber Conference, and I'm going to try to connect. Okay, so it seems to... Okay, so in theory, Nick, if you want to try calling back in, I apologize for the... I know we had issues this morning with Uber Conference, and it was... It doesn't seem to be quite as Mac friendly. We've had problems of dropping calls, but the last couple of weeks I've been working on getting this to a Google Hangout on Air eventually with using Magic Jack and all these other options. That'll probably be coming in April. But Uber Conference, since we said we're going to leave it, of course, has been working perfectly fine. And but even now when I click on it, it says the hang up failed. So I don't know if you're... It's interesting. I know it said it asked you for permission on your side, Daniel. Did it do that again? Or
yeah, I did.
Interesting. So yeah, that number is, of course, 440. And it's weird. I can see that somebody from Perrysburg is online. But let me see here. Because I actually called. I was going to call in on my phone. Let me see if I hear anybody. This will probably... Yeah, there's a big weird echo. Yeah, so it's probably Nick. I see Nick is on the line. I just don't hear him in the Hangout. Yeah, can you hear me in the background now, hearing myself? Ah, the joys of live podcasting. Yeah, so Nick, I don't hear you if you're talking. That stinks. And on my side, it just says Hangout failed. Please try reloading the app. What's it say on your side, Daniel? Anything?
Nope, nothing.
All right.
It looks like it's working.
Yeah, it looks like it's connected. But so thank you, Nick. So, okay. So much for live calls today. I guess if you want, you could dial, let's see here. What can I unplug? I should have forwarded that, I guess, to the board, but we'll just go chat room today. the joys of live technology. So there we go. Mike Phillips mentions that iHeartRadio is owned by a Clear Channel. So if podcasting ever becomes a threat to terrestrial radio, it'll be interesting to see what Clear Channel's attitudes towards independent podcasters is. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I think as it gets, I forget the guy's last name, Norm, the guy that's doing Podcast One now.
Yeah,
has just been saying how he just thinks it's the cat's meow and has so much potential in regards to connecting with audiences. And I know a lot of people are like, well, that guy's, you know, he does come across at times a little cocky. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I'm like, well, he did start Westwood One and that seemed to work out okay. So I think he has he's allowed to be a little cocky. Yeah, what's happening with Magic Jack is the flow is going to be Magic Jack into a JK audio device. And I remember now why I don't use the J. It's sitting right here in front of me. The inline patch has an outrageous amount of 60 cycle hum. And I've tried moving it in different spots. And what I'm going to get is a ground loop isolator from Radio Shack before they go out of business. And then plug that into the board. So that's the plan. I got it to work. It just sounds like there's phone call quality and then there's bad phone quality. And it's like, I do not want to put this kind of audio in front of my audience. So I'm going to try to clean it up before I use it. But that'll be fun. And then people will be able to call in live. And then I don't know if it's going to add anything. This is one of the things Jim and I were talking about is, you know, we were going to do it as a Google Hangout on air so you could see us live. And Jim's question was, what does seeing us add to the conversation? And I was like, you know, that's a good point. And if Uber conference were to continue to work, I might, you know, second guess that decision to go live and make it a video. The only thing it would do would add a video aspect to the show. But again, it's not like we're dancing and spinning. I mean, you made a great point. Your video podcast is things that you can't describe in audio. So you use that specifically for things like that. And so we'll see. It's something I want to play with. And it's just been, I guess for me, I want to do it just because people are telling me that you can't and it's hard and it's things like that. So,
well, the fun thing with video is that even if it's just talking heads and if you're only doing live video and not publishing it in your RSS feed, people get a bit more of an incentive to show up live. They get to see things going on. They get to see your reactions. They get to see your studio a little bit more behind the scenes. And we had a problem just recently. My hard drive on my computer has been failing. And so during our usual live podcast night on Wednesdays, we had to be audio only. And I know that a lot of the people missed the video and they were saying in the chat room, man, I wish we could see you guys, see what you just did just now. And they couldn't because it was audio only, but they know the podcast is audio only. And we certainly keep that in mind as we record the podcast.
Now, when you have multiple people in your studio, does each person have their camera? Or do you just have kind of like a studio shot?
I have a studio shot. Actually, what I do is I physically move my webcam, a Logitech C920, from my desk where it would be for an individual shot to over against the wall so that it then gets our profiles. Mm-hmm. That worked great when we had a few people. Now, whenever it's in studio live streaming, it's just two people. So I am thinking about changing it so that instead of our sitting across from each other, we might be sitting more next to each other. That way, when the camera looks at us, it would be more like a newscaster style, where you get to see our faces and we can look at the camera or look at each other.
There you go. That would work. Yeah, that's one of the things that we're looking to take the podcast review show and possibly do that as a Google Hangout on air, which is going to be interesting because my wife doesn't know that yet. I don't know that she's going to be a fan of being on video. Hi, honey. I know you forgot to do your hair and all, but we're doing video today, so that'll be fun. Since you do the video aspect of your show, what's the ratio of your audio? Now, obviously, your audio podcast has been around a lot longer than your video one. You've been doing that, what, a couple of years now?
Yeah. It's our most popular podcast that we do live is our Once Upon a Time podcast. And the most popular time for that is our initial reactions, which we do on Sunday nights right after the episode airs, 15 minutes after. Mm-hmm. And so people have come to the chat room during the live show for Eastern and Central time, and they're chatting during the show. Then they stick around for the podcast. So there we get 100, up to 150, I think was our record of people watching our live initial reactions. Wow. And then on Wednesdays, we do our full discussion where we include feedback. We get into depth and detail, sound clips, everything like that. It lasts a lot longer. And for that, we usually get about 50 to 70 to show up. The podcast itself gets up to 6,000 downloads per episode.
Very cool.
So it's a small number. But then again, if 6,000 people showed up for our live stream, the chat room would be useless.
Yeah. What's the ratio if you look at the audacity to podcast audio versus video?
Oh, the audio versus video podcast subscriptions. It is about 10% for the video side and compared to the audio. And I think much of that is because I didn't distinguish the two before. Where people thought it was just, oh, this is the talking head version of the exact same content. So now that I've search engine optimized that listing for the video show, maybe I'll start getting some more subscribers for that.
Yeah, because I always threaten to do video and then I never do it. I throw a couple things on YouTube and things like that. And so I've always wondered, kind of like people were asking, you know, is it worth it to start a iHeartRadio, you know, is it worth it to start a video podcast? But, you know, if people are downloading it, and it's like you said, in your case, you know, you might as well, especially if it's something that you can't explain in audio. So,
right.
And Nick Suberling, our chat, what's always fun about coming here live is there is actually another show going on behind the scenes in the chat room. And Ronald was talking about getting software to switch multiple cameras since we were talking about that. I think it was Ryan Parker from foodcraftsman.com who had a great tip. He said, put your camera, we have these swinging arms for our microphones. He said, it'd be great to get a swinging arm for your camera so you could just move it around wherever you wanted. And, you know, so that's something, but Ronald was talking about getting software to switch different camera angles. And Nick Suberling, of course, won a free copy of Wirecast a while back. So congratulations to Nick. And most people will now scream and spit, as I say. And he's saying right now he's not really... But I guess if you don't have multiple people and multiple camera angles, what are you going to do, right? It's like,
Well, the other software you can look at using is, if you're on Mac, CamTwist Studio. That's what I use, actually, and it works really well. And if you're on Windows, there's an app called Minicam, I think is still free, and it can do similar things.
Now, does that work in a Hangout as well? Can you switch cameras?
Yeah, what both of them do is they create a new virtual camera for you. So it will ram up your, that's a mix there. It will jack up your CPU usage,
right,
and make your computer run a lot louder, maybe a little bit slower. But what it does is it receives your webcam and then it outputs that to a new virtual webcam. So you may have to restart your streaming or your web browser software for it to recognize the camera. But so then what I do, like instead of selecting my Logitech C920 for my webcam, I would select CamTwist as my webcam. And then I use CamTwist to be able to do any of the software switching, lower thirds, anything like that, that I want to put on the screen.
There you go. And then it's just a matter of, like you said, that would be a case where you'd want to make sure that everything else is turned off because now you're running the Google Hangout or the Hangout on Air, but now you're running this CamTwist. So that's going to tie up some CPU usage. So you want to pause Dropbox and all the other stuff in the background. And you actually just did an episode on a checklist that was awesome, by the way. I forget how many items you had on the checklist. It was something like 24, 20, I forget, it was a lot.
My pre-flight checklist?
Yes.
Yeah, over at theaudacitytopodcast.com/pre-flight. It is a 20 top level item list of things to check before you press record. But then when you actually get into it, because I put all of these subpoints under each of those 20, it's about 80 different items to check.
Wow. Well, I did have a question for the chat room. And that is, we do have those shows that we listen to. And then there are those shows that for whatever reason, after you've listened to them, you quit listening to them. I know right now I'm starting to thin the herd on some of the, I listen to a lot of comedian podcasts, and I'm starting to thin the herd on those because they're, I don't know if they're running out of friends to interview or, but they just don't, number one, they're not that funny, but they used to be, they had really interesting guests. So if you guys want to chime in on that, are there any shows that maybe haven't pod faded, but you've pod faded from them? Daniel, can you think of any of, or why, yeah. I guess would be the other question. Why did you?
Well, I listened to all of the Once Upon a Time podcasts. I wanted to try and keep up with them to see what they're bringing out, be able to cross promote them, work together as a team, community, all of this. But I started falling behind on my podcast listening, and that was the first thing to go because it wasn't something I really, really had to hear. And I'm still subscribed to all of them, so I can at any moment pick that up again. But it was just the issue of I don't have enough time to listen to all of these. But there have been a couple others where it is kind of the same old as many other podcasts, a podcaster interviewing other podcasters or entrepreneurs or just depending on the interview style, just not bringing out much interesting information or not actually talking about what it seems like they should be talking about. And it seems more just like buddy-buddy conversation. There are a couple web design podcasts I used to listen to that were like that as well that I just realized I'm not getting anything from this. Yeah, it's cool to hear these prominent web designers talk about web design, but I'm not taking anything from this. I'm not learning anything. I'm not getting any actionable tips or advice. It's just a cool conversation to listen in on. And so I cut that out.
There you go. That's me. I the one thing I noticed that there were some podcasts I was listening to that in some cases they moved me, but they moved me because they made me upset. Like I disagreed with the host all the time. And I was like, you know what? I have enough stress in my life that, and like I said, I'm with you. The other thing, I was using Stitcher, and I might move off of Stitcher because it used to be when I was using the podcast app, it was there and I would actually download it. And I've had a couple episodes that I've missed, and I'm trying to figure out why. I know I have it set to only play new, but I think in some cases, if I listen to part of a podcast, so it's not technically new, if I go back and say, play my favorites, it won't play that because it's not, quote, new. It's like you get one shot to listen to it when it's new. And that's kind
try
of...
Try the new app. Stitcher just came out with version 6.0 yeah, yesterday
at
the time of this recording.
Just upgraded this morning. I was like, okay. So, hey, Mike Phillips has a great question. And this is something I wish I could get an actual, I don't know, like SEO guru. And he says, he actually wrote some great articles and he posted them on the IAIB forum. And he also has them on his own blog. And he said, should I post them on other sites too? I've been told that putting the same article on multiple blogs hurts SEO. And I've heard things about Google punishing, for lack of a better phrase, duplicate content. In fact, that was one of the things that always made me very worried about using Libsyn's QuickCast, where you can basically type your show notes in the MP3 file. QuickCast will load it to the Libsyn website, and you can have the Libsyn website then post it to your WordPress site. And I'm like, isn't that duplicate? Because that would be exactly duplicate content. And I've never been able to find an absolute 100%, here's the answer on, you know, Google duplicate content. Any insights into that, Daniel? Because I've tried to switch things around sometimes so it's not duplicate, but I don't know if there are any kind of, I don't know, guidelines for that.
Well, the general guideline is it's best not to have duplicate content because Google isn't the only player out there. While they may be changing things and there are words, I've got an article I'm trying to glance through here, but they may be changing it so that you're not punished as much for having Google duplicate content. It could still be a problem with other search engines like Bing. So you could just try spinning it a little. And there are article spinners out there that will take certain phrases and spin them for you. So it communicates the same thing, but uses different words in order to put that out there.
Yeah, I've always wondered exactly like how it determines, like, is it the first paragraph or is it, you know, how much of it does it read before it goes, oh yeah, this is definitely duplicate or things like that. I know for a while, when I first got into podcasting, I was actually writing articles and submitting them to different article directories where people would go over there for content. They wanted to have a great article. It was almost like guest posting on somebody's blog. They just needed a post. So they would go out and they would go over to, I forget the one article. I forget what it was, but there was a couple that if you could get a good article on there, because of course, the great thing about that is at the bottom of the article, you would put, you know, Dave Jackson is the guy from the school of podcasting.com. You'd have a link. So when people put this article on their blog, you would get a link back. And so that was the cool marketing juice of it. But now I look at that and go, well, okay, but now is that going to be a duplicate problem? Especially if you had the article first on your website. And it's hard sometimes to get a straight answer on that.
Well, here's somewhat of an answer, and this is coming from Google, from this article I found on their site. If you just search Google for duplicate content, Google, mm-hmm. you'll find this article. And what they're saying is, yes, duplicate content across domains can hurt you. On your own domain can also hurt you. But a way that you can do this is, if possible, add the canonical URL to the duplicate content. And what that does is it tells Google that although this content is here on this page, don't redirect it if someone comes here, but recognize that this other URL is actually the source of this. So if you're going to index something, index this other URL and see that as the original feed. So for example, if I wrote a blog post for schoolofpodcasting.com and the audacitytopodcast.com and podcastersroundtable.com. Same content. What I would do is on School of Podcasting and on podcastersroundtable.com, I would set the canonical URL to be my URL for that page. And so Google would recognize these are acceptable duplicates, but my site contains the original source.
There you go. And what's that called? The what link?
It's the canonical URL.
And how would somebody set that?
You have to have an SEO tool in order to be able to do it. It's built into the StudioPress themes from CopyBlogger, but also if you use either all-in-one SEO or what I recommend is WordPress SEO by Yoast.
Yeah, that thing's awesome.
Those have this option. Pretty much anything that's serious about SEO will have the option for you to set the canonical URL.
Very cool. And if you're looking for, it's called WordPress SEO by Yoast. And if you go over to Dustin Hartzler's website, which is yourwebsiteengineer.com, he's got a tutorial. It's about an hour long on how to get the most. Now, he himself says up front, look, I'm not a WordPress SEO guru, but he says here are some tips you can do to get the most out of that particular plugin. And actually, there's a great plugin from the same people that do StudioPress called Scribe, where it will actually, you'll say, here's my keyword for this post. And it will then look at your title and your post and basically grade it for you. Now, Scribe is not a free plugin. In fact, it's a monthly fee. And the cool thing is this WordPress SEO post does a very similar thing. It actually grades your posts and it's free. And it's free because Yoast wants you to come out and hire him to do a once-over on your website, which is really, really not free. That guy,
or buy the premium version of WordPress SEO.
Yeah. So, but it's a great plugin. That's one of my favorites. And so, very cool. And Daniel, again, where can people find you at?
Over at theaudacitytopodcast.com as well as podcastmasterclass.com. And I have a secret project in the works.
It's a
Dave
secret.
Knows what it is.
I do.
But
and if you send me lots and lots and lots of cash, I might hint, but I've been sworn to secrecy.
It's supposed to launch in April, mid to late April.
Are you doing the thing where you pick a deadline and then just like go crazy making sure you hit the deadline?
Well, in this case, I have a deadline unintentionally set, and that is I was interviewed on Entrepreneur on Fire. And I did announce it in Entrepreneur on Fire, but I was flexible enough to say that this should be launched by now. Even if it's not, you'll be able to go to this website and sign up for a notification.
There you go. That now you can put that, you can scratch that off your bucket list, man. You've been on eofire.com. He's a great guy. I love that show. And Mike Phillips is reminding us here as we fade in the music. Remember to go to, I wish I had a Target affiliate program. I wonder what it's like online, if they have it online.
No, it's only in stores.
Only in stores. Go to Target And the Samson Q2U, better known as the Audio-Technica 2100-ish microphone, $29.99. I'm actually, when we get done here, I'm going to go to Target and pick up one.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, run, do not walk to your nearest Target. And, of course, you can find us here every Saturday. Daniel, thanks so much, man, for coming on. That was fun.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And we're here every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's Ask the Podcast Coach. You can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. And thanks to the chat room and everybody. If you have any questions, you can always email me, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com, and we'll use it on the show. Or better yet, if you are a podcaster, you got one of them there microphones, record something and email me again, dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. So thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you back here next Saturday for another episode of Ask the Podcast Coach.